Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Onwards Technologies Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded, and I'll hand the conference over to Ms. Asha Gupta from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Neha. Good evening to all of you. Welcome to Q1 FY25 earnings call of Onwards Technologies Limited. The results and presentation have already been mailed to you, and you can also view them on our website at www.onwardsgroup.com. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us Mr. Jigar Mehta, Managing Director of Onwards Technologies Limited. He will start the call with a business update and financial performance for the quarter, which will be then followed by a Q&A session. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report that you can view on our website. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Jigar Mehta. Over to you, Jigar. Jigar?
Yes, hi. Thank you. Thank you, Asha. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining Q1 FY25 earnings call on a Friday evening. I'm glad to connect with you all again. Hope you received our results and the presentation that we released a couple of hours ago today after the board meeting. Before dwelling into the quarterly performance, I would like to quickly discuss some of the key highlights we have laid down in our presentation. If you could refer to slide number 13, I can just quickly give you a perspective about where the last three years were and where the next three years will be, right? Just want to spend a couple of minutes on that today. The last three years post the pandemic, we saw opening an evolution or a change in the marketplace where some of the largest OEMs in the world, because of disruption that the whole digital artificial intelligence data analytics created, opened up an opportunity for young suppliers, young companies like us to make a mark. In addition, a lot of large OEMs in the manufacturing industry in the verticals that we are present in, the two main ones, realized that a lot of the work which traditionally couldn't be offshore to India can now be offshore to India, and that's where companies like Onwards Technologies thrived, where traditionally they would only do it locally in the respective country and/or locally in-house in their own centers. They started outsourcing that, and we have been blessed with being at the right place, right time, and right capabilities that we could ramp up towards that. In addition to that, we took the last three years to reposition Onwards Technologies in a very structured way with three verticals and three horizontals, and today that entire transition or transformation has been completed. And last, in terms of numbers-wise, we achieved 472 crores of revenue. We delivered for the first time last year double-digit EBITDA from being a debt-free company in debt in 2019 to a company today with the highest cash on hand has changed the way we start looking at business. And of course, from a shareholder perspective, we have been a dividend-paying company 9 years in a row. Even earlier today in the AGM, we increased the dividend from 3 rupees to 5 rupees, and that got approved by the shareholders. I will now take a couple of minutes about talking about where today and the next three years will go. We started off Q1. So there are five, and I'll get into Q1 immediately after that. We started off the financial year post-May, post the last board meeting. Now we start accelerating towards both growth, expansion in the U.S. and Europe, and building more domain deep capabilities in the three verticals and horizontals that we are present in. And you must have seen a lot of action about us as we talk about that. So what do we have today going into the future? We have a very strong team. We have an amazing board. We have an amazing board, which is very involved at working with me in terms of, and my management team in terms of policies, in terms of culture, in terms of budgets, and of course corporate governance, and that's really helping us. And a lot of the decisions we make today as well in the board meeting, they're actually resonate with you why that is important. We have a very strong management team. My leadership team, my top team, direct reportees have all been very stable since 2016, and we only added to the mix since then. Some people have retired, and then other people have got promoted or hired externally. Our entire second and third line is even stronger, I believe, who have come from very good execution backgrounds, good capabilities, of course, very highly educated, but very strong execution capabilities. Number two, our whole company today, from being internal focused in 2020 when we were sitting at home, today is a customer-centric approach. Now it's all about getting back to growth. Being ahead of the curve, and you will see that a lot more from us, especially in the US and Europe markets. In terms of customer engagements, we were all over the place in the last 3 years with 250 customers. Now we are down to 85 plus customers. We always maintain 75 as a sweet spot, 60 to 75 customers, and how do we grow and build deeper engagements and add value to them across all the three horizontals, which is mechanical engineering, embedded electronics, and digital. And of course, revenue growth. Revenue growth is very, very significant. And we looked at some of the best successes in our industry. There are five companies much bigger than us and have done a phenomenal job in the last 20 years. And we believe that's the right strategy that they have. And I think it's only obvious for a company like us to follow that, see the good work done by them, and see how we can create our own little play in the market, which is, instead of being a broad-based service provider, talking to ER&D service provider, working with a lot of customers, working with few customers and scaling with them. And we believe the first milestone for us is, instead of having a definite number like we did in the before, is having 10 customers with $10 million or 20 customers with $5 million. And we are working towards that, and all our investments are in that journey. And the last point is investments. You know, I continue to keep getting questions, is Onward investment completed? Are we done with investing? I personally believe we have just started. We have such an amazing opportunity. We have such an amazing pipeline. And now it's all about converting and executing, which is what a young company like us have not done before, because we hired people to do that. So investment in terms of expertise, building deep domain capabilities, and going deep into a lot of the areas in industrials, in heavy machinery, in mining equipment, in construction, in automotive, in mobility, and a whole bunch of other stuff, continues to be the name of the game. And we believe we've only started on the investment journey, and I would like so much amazing talent available for a young company like Onward, and I'm very excited towards that. We're getting the best people from the best companies, and hiring has become so much more easier for us. And I'll talk a bit more about that hopefully in the Q&A or through the year as we talk about that. Now, coming back to Q1 numbers, we declared 117.6 crore revenue, which is a marginal drop from the previous quarter. It's a bit slower than we expected. I expected. I was hoping to be a bit higher than where we are today. And that's something we are correcting, and I am sure you will see that uptake right from Q2. In terms of, I won't talk about a lot about the exits of the old businesses and the stuff that we have done, because we have spoken enough about that in the last 3 years. I'll talk about the positives and where we want to go, because there's nothing to exit anymore. So it's very progressive and positive, where at least today I am in, and it's the best day for me professionally as well, because now I'm only looking in the future. So coming back, revenue was 117.6 crore, a bit shorter than what I thought we will be. 120 would have been a good sweet spot for us after the transition completed. On the EBITDA level, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we grew 20-odd%, and we ended up at 9.9%, again, a bit shorter linked to the revenue growth. I think the entire, that would have had a pretty positive impact on us, but still a growth of 176 BPS points. And PAT was at 7 crores, which is a growth of 6% sequentially. Our goal continues to be to have double-digit EBITDA. I do believe we will be much higher than last year as an organization at a consolidated level. Last year, our number was 11%. So yes, our aim is, and our projections and pipeline do show, and our cost structures, after all the investments, that we'll be higher than that. And we continue to maintain that for this year, next year, and the year going forward, that we will have a balanced, profitable growth in Onward as we look ahead. On the revenue side, we believe revenues was something that you will see start growing, starting from Q2 upwards. And I think next couple of quarters and years are going to be very exciting for us as we keep mining the existing relationships we have, as we keep building on the amazing people that we've hired and giving them enough 6, 9, 12 months to settle down and make an impact. And obviously, the third is continuously strengthening them as well to continuously strengthen both our relationships, long-term contracts, and higher revenue deals. Our deal momentum continues to be very positive across all the three verticals. We are still not legally authorized by our customers to share client names, but we continue to grow with our customers. A lot of our customers that we have signed in the U.S. are taking us to Europe. A lot of them are taking in who we are working with the U.S. and Europe want us to work with other locations, which we are shying away from right now. But very interesting development that's been happening in the last several quarters. I'm assuming it applies to the broader industry as well. The capital centers that we work with, GCCs that we work with in India, are now taking us global as well. Right, and that's because of the amazing work our team has been doing on the delivery side, the capabilities, the quality of work, and slowly we are seeing positive momentum towards there. And I hope that's the new day of trust and relationships that what we are building with our customers. In terms of demand environment, external, I am continue to be very positive. As I said, I've just come back. I've just come back from our trip to US and Canada in the last few weeks. We are opening our first physical office in Toronto on Monday. So both Vignesh and Nirmala from my management team are there right now. They'll be doing the inauguration. They are interviewing people. They're hiring. They're meeting a lot of customers and prospects, which are all referrals. And we do believe that can be an important part of our business. Just to clarify, Toronto office is not a sales office. It's an office where we will look, it's in the same time zone as US or in North America, and we are looking at servicing North America from there. This is in addition to Chicago and our office in Michigan. In terms of opportunities, we continue to see a lot of opportunities on the digital side, or whether it's Gen AI, whether it's data science and data analytics. And we are trying to, that's the opportunity side. And the challenge side we have there is the demand is so high that attracting the right people is something that we have struggled with last year. But I think this year the team is getting better and with a much better brand and external environment in our favor. I think we're able to attract a lot of people now and a lot of momentum you will see there. Just an example, what I'm talking to in terms of financial numbers, we applied for 200 plus H1Bs last year. And for the first time, we've got about, I think, 25 or 30 approvals from Onward. Right? And again, this is after a gap of 6, 7 years. So it's a very positive. I hope we can keep building on this momentum. And in a year or two, we at least have 200 to 300 H1Bs readily available for the projects that we are willing to be deployed, which we see a huge uptake of revenue growth as well. Our balance sheet continues to remain robust. We have, for the first time, again, very exciting, and I'm very proud of the team, crossed 100 crores cash in hand as of end of June. And I do believe that number will keep improving in the next few quarters and years as we keep building a very strong, robust business model without compromising on investments in the labs and centers of excellence and delivery teams across the three verticals and horizontals. And to summarize, I would like to again thank you all for being an amazing partner and shareholder in the last 3 years since the transition and transformation and onwards started. It's been highly rewarding. And at the same time, last few quarters, thank you for your patience, where we have changed the trajectory from the top line and bottom line, and we do hope that we will get back to, we're quite positive that we will get back to both, especially our revenue growth starting Q2 and over the next few years. I would like to take an opportunity also to thank my team. They're working exceedingly hard, they're working exceedingly smart, and I'm proud of the work that they do. We are now at 2,493 people. The reduction is not attrition, it's actually the client that we exited. Just to reclassify, just at the end, we exited a large client in India, which was about 80-90 engineers. We exited a very big business of ours, which is MEG business in US and Mexico and a bit in Germany, which used to generate about 20 odd crores a year of revenue a year or 2 years back. We completely moved out of that. You might have seen some drop in revenue in US and Europe, but that's nothing to do with our existing clients. It's just the business that we exited and the transactions that we were part of. And third is some transactional clients that we exited in the healthcare vertical, both in US and Europe, which was always part of our plan. Which was not growing fast enough, and there was no potential to go beyond $1 million. So again, small client, very good client, but small client, and I think it's the right time for both of us to move different ways. So that was the overall drop of 150 people. But just to give you perspective, that number will go up. You will see us hiring a lot of people. Even if you see as of today, we have 700 open positions and onward. Large number of them are already on the job portals, including social media like LinkedIn, and we have built a very strong, robust team of 90-plus recruiters now on full-time on our payroll, which are meeting the demand and attracting the right talent. So again, from being external vendor-focused, we have brought the whole team in-house, and we will start growing that. Now, I would love to hand over the call, the floor to the operator for Q&A questions and any clarifications that I can add. Thank you. Over to you, Asha.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kaushik from AKJ Investment Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is regarding the growth. Being a small player, why aren't we growing minimum 10 to 15% of growth? And the second question is on the employee. You said that you are having 700 plus open positions. Currently, our employee cost is at the elevated percentage. So, you would be focusing on adding more employees or rather than letting operating leverage play out in our company because the margins are low and when you go higher, again, the number inches higher, right? So that is my second. And third part is, what is our target? I see you are opening office in Toronto. So what is our target of percentage of revenue coming from America do you have in mind in next 2 years?
Hi, thank you for the questions. Can you just repeat the first question? I got the third one on Canada.
Yeah.
Or US.
Yeah. I was talking about the growth, right? Currently, we are not able to grow 1 or 2%. I know that you have exited some of the businesses, but why the scale has not been happening at a blitz scale, right? Why, being a small player, I'm asking about why being a small player, we are not able to scale. Like 10 to 15% growth is pretty normal, right? Why we are not able to do that? And when you are envisaging that, you know that your pipeline is strong and there is tailwind in the sector also. So when you are, so at which quarter or when you think that we will go on to the growth path, because right now the cleaning has been done. So whatever you want to exit, you have exited. But when do you where do you see we scale at 10%-15% growth since it is in the industry, growing industry we are in?
Sure. As I clarified before, in the opening remarks, we do believe we were expecting to grow from Q1, and we had some delays, but that's behind us now. In Q2, we do believe from Q2, you will see us back on the growth side, and we will build on that as we accelerate towards where we want to go with our clients. The second question was in terms of headcount. We have that number of open positions. I just wanted to give you all of you a perspective of the kind of demand that we are seeing as a young company. We've never had this kind of demand from our customers, especially in US and Europe. And I think that number is only going to increase is what I see as we keep hiring more account delivery managers and account sales managers for the clients that we already serve. Right, but please keep in mind, demand is one thing, execution is second thing. For execution, I do need a lot of visas, whether it's UK, Canada, Germany, US, and that's something Onward does not have. That's a new business for us in the last 3 years. So we are building on that, and we're seeing amazing momentum towards that. Right, just to clarify. Number three, this doesn't include offshore demand, and that continues to be at a good. That continues to be at a good momentum, which is the high margin business. And I do believe that business will also keep growing with, as we are upgrading all our offices, as we are upgrading all our infrastructure. Right? Just to give you a perspective, a couple of days back, we signed a 6.5 crore deal with Microsoft for next 3 years or something along those lines. Right? We see that we are confident of the demand that we see for the next 3 years. We have bought all the Microsoft licenses, including Copilot for our team, right, which is a GenAI tool. And your third question in terms of America. So I've clarified before. I believe in very soon today we are 50% outside India, 50% in India. I believe the right sweet spot for us is 70% of the revenue should come from outside India. Right, that's always been the dream, and that's where all our investments has been, and that gives us a good balance from a risk perspective as well. Right, over the next few, so and that's where we are continuously investing.
So in the near term, I see then there would be a lot of costs which will be coming in, but in the medium term to long term, those will add benefits. That is. Is my thinking right? And at which growth, as being a R&D, a small player, at which growth you would be happy as an executioner? At what kind of growth you would like to see? I mean, from Q2 you are saying growth, but growth can
Kaushik, be... I'm the happiest CEO in the history of Onboard or in my industry. As I said, I am comparing 3 years back, company should have not existed. In 3 years, we are going from zero to 470 crores. 3 years back, we had no cash. Today, we have 100 crores cash on hand. 3 years back, we had none of these Fortune 500 companies. Today, we have the best companies trusting us, engaging with us, training us, growing with us. So, as I said, we have 3 years back, if you saw infrastructure, we are sitting at home. Today, Onboard Technologies employees are working from the best A-grade infrastructure globally. And wherever we are not, we are upgrading that. All our policies are getting upgraded. Salaries at an all-time high. So again, there's only positives in Onward. I understand from an external analyst perspective, people want to see much bigger growth, and I'm sure that will come. I think it's only a matter of time. As I said, we had a last one quarter was a blip, which I was hoping was not there. Last 1 year, I was very clear that I was focusing on double-digit EBITDA, because that changes the trajectory of the company, whether you want to win somewhere else. So that's what I've said. Now, coming back to the cost side, I continue, I mentioned earlier, I do believe our EBITDA numbers for the year will be better than last year in spite of all this cost. So in short, that will be supported by revenue growth. So we have to grow, we see a pipeline, and we have to execute towards that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj from Arjun Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Was there any lost sales in quarter one FY 2025?
No, we've never had a loss in last, I think, several years.
So for an FY 2025, it was an execution issue from our end rather than a demand issue, right?
Correct. We actually delivered 9.9% EBITDA percentage, which was.
All right. Should have been higher, ideally.
Yes. Yes. It's been higher. It's been good. It's been very positive. It's exactly what we thought we would be at, plus minus percentage. But yes, ONWARD as a company, I don't think there have been a loss since the blip in pandemic.
All right. So are we expecting uptick in sales and EBITDA both from Q2 FY 2025?
We are expecting uptick in revenue growth from Q2. Everything else is balanced. We don't give quarterly projections, but yes, it will be how it plays out in the whole year. Yes.
Because of the issue I tell you, since last two to three calls, you have been putting emphasis on the capability part of the company. So when do we exactly see this capability converting it into the figures?
That's what we are working on, right? That's exactly what we are working on. A lot of things we get excited with as a young company. We get excited as a team that we are winning, and then the project gets started a bit later. A lot of times we've signed, just to give you a perspective, we've signed an amazing, one of the best parts, best automotive brands, race car brands last quarter. So the billing started today. Or will start on Monday, sorry. So we were expecting that a quarter ago, but it's very small, small things like that. And we just have to learn to live with that, and we have to learn to play better. And that's what we are doing, right? And I think there's not much to it. I think it's all about we have to get back to growth. We have the customers. We have the people. We have the capability. And it's all about doing it properly and knowing where to invest your time and energy.
Understood. And sir, for us, how much is the ideal pipeline to order book conversion ratio?
So I'll answer it. That's a product company question. I will give or IT services question. I'll give you an engineer, my way of looking at stuff. Each customer's outsourcing budget continues to be, let's say, $100 million plus. Some are $500 million, some are $1 billion. ONWARD is not even 1% of that today, right? And everything else is a pipeline because no customer today is married to XYZ supplier or vendor. It's about capability, right? There's application support, and then there is new product development. ONWARD is not in the application support business. ONWARD is in the new product development business, right? Engineering, re-engineering, robotics, GenAI, and all the projects that we do for customers, a set of R&D teams or build competencies. So in that perspective, each customer's budget, 20%-30% is available to us to play with. That's my pipeline, right? Today, there's no salesperson or sales rep in ONWARD going in the market to sign new clients. We don't have a pipeline because we already have won the customers. I hope I clarified, right? It's the customer's outsourcing budget. That's why my confidence is always very positive. Now, it's all about we need to execute, and we need to get a bit lucky as well, just to be very honest.
Understood. And sir, are we chasing any big clients?
We've stopped chasing clients for 2 years. We have not made a single sales call in ONWARD. Every client that we have signed in the last 2 years or 2 and a half years has come through reference, right? When we do a great job for, let's say, 5 industrial companies, we get reference to another 3. So all our wins have been through that. There is no sales pipeline. If you look at our CRM, which we use, Salesforce.com, there is nobody chasing a new client. And if there's an opportunity, a prospect, it's through a reference. And reference, usually, we have seen a very high percentage conversion because there's a clear demand from the OEM to add a new supplier. There's a clear demand on what they're looking at. They know ONWARD is already referred for doing good work in that service. Now, it's all about whether they select us or they select the two other suppliers from somewhere around the world.
Understood. And sir, who would be our immediate peer?
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. I request you to come back for a follow-up question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sapna Jawar from Kotak Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Sure, thank you. Jigar, hi. So just wanted to understand that what has been the execution challenges for us in this particular quarter which led to a flattish or a decline in sales? Has it been that we did not have requisite people to fulfill the projects that we've already signed? Or was it something else? If you could just help us understand that.
Sure. Hi, Sapna. Yes. So two things from a US perspective. So from a US perspective, we did not have the people, the technical people, and that's something where we lost some traction in the month of, and let's say in the month of June. And from a Europe perspective, projects that we were starting in the month of the project that we won, which was supposed to start billing in Q4, did not start, and some are starting, as I said, as early as coming Monday, right? Because work permits took longer and something or the other. That's the first part of it, and I think that's 80% of the revenue. On the India side, we saw client budget accelerate, and which we were not ready for. Right. I think because we're also seeing a lot of news clippings on that, and maybe every company is going through that. The GCCs have started hiring at a very, very fast pace.
Hmm.
Right. And we were not ready for that. So we had invested all our eggs in Europe and US, where the demand came very big in India from the same customers. And that's where we had to balance things out. So we did catch up a lot in last couple of days or weeks of the quarter, but we could have done it better. We could have seen things a bit better a quarter back. Because it's very hard to make an impact in the middle of the quarter for the quarter. I think you understand that in the services business.
Yes. So suffice to say that we have orders in hand. It's just got deferred to Q2 because of the lack of requisite talent in the appropriate place, and they would come soon. So 2Q should see that deferment filling up the gap. And India, as it is not a focused area for us. So even if the demand is high, we would be happy to let go of that sales as well, right?
No, that business is gone, Sapna. So yes, the first point is absolutely right, and I agree. Second point is the Indian customer that we have today is a very important part of our business now. What we wanted, what was not a priority, what we want to exit is all done, and I hope I never have to talk about that in my career again. It's very painful to let go of a profitable client. But coming back to the clients that we have today, these are dream clients. We love working with them. We are growing with them. We are getting awards with them. But what is important is we didn't see the demand come up so quickly. So they would do marginal thing. And what happens is if you don't ramp up with them, then you get left behind if you don't deliver for them. So we want to ramp up with them as well. And that's what we are getting better. So we had a new leader who joined us in Bangalore, for example, to head that business. He came on board from HCL, for example. We had a new leader who came on board in Pune. He came from another company. So we are now building that as well. So now we are in a good shape. Then we can make it, we can deliver to what we see is the potential for Q2 and Q3 and Q4.
Understood. So 2Q onwards, at least talent-wise, we would not have an issue. In terms of demand, we do not have an issue. In terms of, any execution, are you seeing any delay per se that's happening? I understand, we are a small company, demand's really good. But are we seeing any deferment happening from any of your customers, be it in the automotive sector, on the mechanical side, on the IT side, anywhere at all, have you seen any deferment happening which would have left us, high and dry in Q1 and should follow up in Q2? Or any other execution challenge that you would like to highlight?
No, so none of the point that you mentioned, execution challenge continues to be there for us in Europe and US. After winning a project, we are not, and I've shared it before as well, customer wants to start tomorrow. Because every company that we are working with, and you guys all know some of the names, are very cash rich, very powerful, very largest companies in the world. So when they, and they have huge budgets, So when they award a project or they select you as a supplier, they want to start tomorrow. I don't onboard technologies, does not have the necessary bench. We never did. We had small bench. We didn't have such a huge bench with H-1B people, with German work permits, with, and if we had in, let's say we had in digital, now that we are winning deals in embedded. We had in embedded, we are winning deals in mechanical. So it's just about playing it right.
So how many people have we added on a net basis from Q4 to Q1?
Great question. I think must be 150 plus, 200 plus. I don't have the exact number, Sapna, but we can email that to you right away. But I don't know if I'm allowed to share today's headcount. We must be back to about 2,550 or 2,600.
And what would be our entire plan for a net hiring for the year?
So it's not the net hiring. It's the net hiring in US, UK, and Germany, what is important. Net hiring, I think we have shared in our projections, I think we'll be between 2,700 and 2,900 people net as a consolidated basis. But what is important is, can we add that 1,500 people in Europe and US?
And how soon can we do that?
I mean, demand is there tomorrow. And that's what we are working on. So we already filed for the visas. As I said, US, we got some success. We're very happy about that. We just have to get the momentum going for UK, Germany, and Canada. And we're almost there. I think we have figured out what we need to do, how we need to execute on that side. Now it's all about making sure that we deliver on that.
Great. So just last two questions from my end. One, on the cost front, you did mention about your aggressive hiring plan and probably some more investments coming in, all appreciated. But in terms of cost, is there any more scope for us to improve efficiency within our own channel in terms of cost cutting? Because we've seen the sequential growth in the margins. So that must have been, and despite net hiring, if we've seen that, that must have been that from the OPEX part of it, we continue to squeeze something, be it travel or something of that sort. So is there, if you could just explain that, what's led to this 200 bits improvement despite the revenue being flat? And how will this continue going ahead? Second, on the pricing front, since our ambition is to move towards more US, Europe, UK-based clients, on the pricing front, is there a negotiation happening for us to get a better rate in terms of employees? Because demand is not a concern. We just have to provide the requisite bench to them. So is there a negotiation happening on the uptake on the prices as well? These two points. Thank you.
So to answer your first point, is there opportunity for cost optimization? There's always an opportunity. We are not perfect. We are learning. And this is the biggest size of the company we've ever run. And we're always looking at that. Across the board, across the management team, across so many regional heads that we have. And it's a very beautifully delegated task, so it's not, doesn't come up to my level. Everybody's working on it every day, and that's very positive. Number two, please keep in mind also in the Q4 quarter, we had a bit of a dip in bottom line because of that one-time hit on furloughs and the visa, some visa H-1B costs that we had. Right? And that's all behind us now, so that's not going to come up, hopefully. So that was the difference between...
That has led to this 200 bps or 150 bps improvement in the margins. Or the...
I believe so. No. I don't think there's any... We don't do cost cutting. As I said, we are spending more. I'm actually encouraging my managers and my team to travel more. I want them to build more relationships, learn more. Because again, we are at a stage where we cannot behave like a much larger company, right? Where relationships have been there for the last 20 years. We have just started the relationships. And we were very unfortunate or fortunate when we started the relations 3 years ago. We were all remote Teams calls, you know, Google Meets and whatever, Zoom. Now we are building, people are meeting each other. Trust is getting built. They're seeing my team work. And I think it's very positive. I'll give you an example. We have won a new project right now in US. This is more for Q2, but I can share, I was told. We signed an amazing new customer. We actually signed them in Q3 of last year. Billing was supposed to start in Q4. It did not start because of some contractual legal reasons. Now it's all behind us. We completed the paperwork. And now we have figured out, instead of delivering the project from US, we actually want to deliver the project from Canada.
Okay.
just as an example, because for the customer, what really mattered when we built face-to-face relationships was, can you deliver in the same time zone? We don't want it from India or Europe. And they were as happy with Toronto as they were happy with East Coast of US. This is an example, right? Execution. Now, I didn't know that a year ago when we were discussing on Teams. Now, when you start sitting across a conference room and brainstorming on how to execute the project with the customer, a lot of interesting things pop up. So this is one very beautiful example of how our teams got created, customer got created, because everybody was working together to make it happen.
Got it. So on the cost side also, on the pricing also, if you could share.
And on the pricing side, there's always a conversation, because our majority of our business model, 80% or 90% of our revenue comes from time and material. So every year, Sapna, my team and me have a conversation with all our clients, not just the top five clients, every client that we have in the T&M side, which is on pricing. Right? And we see lot of positives. We always see positives. When we do a good job quality-wise, the customer is proud of the work our teams are doing. When they rate us higher than other suppliers who have been there much longer, because we are the new suppliers, we always see very good client, whether it's rate increase, whether it's band increase. And that's a very natural progression, I believe, across the industry. On the fixed price side, that's not how, at least for us, it doesn't work, because this is very new. And we're not quoting for that many projects.
Got it. Sure. Thank you for answering my question. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tanmay Agarwal from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jadeus. Am I audible?
Yes.
Jigar, I principally wanted to understand, do we have any concrete deals in hand for which you are so confident about the growth coming in from quarter two? Because at this particular moment, we've been stuck at 120 crore revenue zip code for about 8 quarters now. So if you could probably answer a little deeply, why exactly do you feel that now would be the quarter where we are definitive of breaking this particular record?
We have a just to answer the question, I think I addressed it before. We have the pipeline, we have the visibility from our customers. We have to execute. Why I'm a bit more positive? One is I'm a positive person. Second is, this team has built a beautiful company in the last 3 years, and they've hired even the smarter people in the last 1 year. Customers are progressing. I'm always getting great feedback. And now it's all about, can we execute, right? That's what it's coming down to. And we shared an example in the earlier answer. And these are things that we are doing to get creative so we're able to execute for our clients.
So on the execution part, do we foresee any capability issue? Because from what I am able to see, if you look at the top 10 people that we have in the company, or if you try to look at the board of directors that we have, barely anybody is from the IT background. Even the PE partner that we have is not from IT background or ER&D background. So just on that particular segment, when we talk about execution, can you share anything? How this quarter could be different from the last stage in terms of execution?
I don't know where you are seeing the people. So one, we're not an IT company. We are an engineering services company. My top 100 people are all engineering services guys. My management team are managers, right? They're leaders. They're not mechanical engineers or data science engineers. They are just great leaders, and they know how to work with each other over the years of experience together, and have done a beautiful job. And I think they will only excel more and more in the next 3 to 5 years. You can see the next level below them. There's a management team which runs the board, which runs the organization. They are exceptional of creating large companies. That's what their contribution and corporate governance, of course. the management team, which is drive leadership. Let's call them leadership team. Their job is leaders. Being to be a leader, hire great people to do great things, put the right culture, processes, tools, infrastructure, and that's what they do very well. And look at the entire next line of people that we have, which is 2,500 of them, 2,400 of them, which is just phenomenal.
So anything specific that we're doing which would entail better conversions or better execution?
We just have to learn. We are learning. As I said, we said before, we've never run a company of this size. We are learning. We are humble. We are feet on the ground. Everybody's working very hard, and we are learning. Best part about our industry, which all of you guys know, is none of the Indian companies compete with each other in our space. We are not IT business. Everybody has enough room to grow. Everybody has enough deal momentum. Everybody's seen visibility for the last 5 years. And I think the next 5 years are going to be even better. So it's not going to be one company win it all, right? Every customer has 3 to 5 suppliers. There are 5 or 7 engineering companies. And I'm just proud that Onward is now suddenly in the mix in large number of them. And I think we will only improve as the time goes by.
And we're very hopeful that happens soon. Just one last question, that typically in a ER&D company, we usually do have visibility for the next 9 to 12 months. So anything that you can share in terms of what you envisage, where we should exit on the revenue side this year?
We don't share projections. As I said, we're too young. We have to stick to what we're good at and get back to work. We had a great run last 3 years, and we can make next 3 years better than the last 3 years. And that should be all our working hard to do.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manjit Buaria from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I have 2 questions. First, I wanted to understand, when we build a project from a customer that can't deliver due to some issues at our end, how does the customer look at that from our credibility perspective, one? And in terms of that project, second, do they wait for us? Do they just go out and find some other vendor? And how does the long-term relationship then get impacted?
So, great questions. Again, Let's classify the customers. There are customers where we have an engagement for more than 5 years. Now, with those customers, they will get creative with you as a supplier because they take you part of your ecosystem. And those are the kind of companies we love working with. There's a clear understanding. They are the customer, we are the supplier, and they grow. They want you to grow with them, right? So they will handhold you and they'll get creative. So that's the first part. There are some customers who are a reference client. We have just signed them last 1 year for one project or 2 projects, and now there's a third requirement, third RFP come out, and let's say Onward wins that on capability, but we're not able to execute. Those customers will definitely not wait for us, right? Let's say the project has to start on, I'm just giving a number, a date, August 1st, and Onward is not ready. They might wait till August 5th or 10th. If not, then they go to the L2 vendor, right? The second vendor who was in the race. And that's how it works. And we also benefit sometimes by that when some large engineering companies are not able to deliver, customer goes to us, not us, but who was number 2 was, and a lot of places Onward is number 2. So that's the second part of it. How does it impact the relationship? On the first one, I think it's never good on a relationship when what you have promised, you don't deliver. Right? But I think what my team does a good job, and we are getting better every day, is we are very honest with the customer. We know it's not possible. Right? If you remember, I don't know if you were tracking Onward about 18 months back, we had an RFP of 5,000 people, and we actually walked away from the RFP. And every other Indian engineering company has quoted for it. But we walked away from it. We just didn't have 5,000 people on bench, and we did not think Onward could ever ramp up to 5,000 engineers in 1 month. It was too much, too high a thing for us. So I think we are honest as we can be. We like to stretch ourselves a bit, but that's where we are trying to get better. We are another customer who wanted to ramp up, who wanted to ramp wanted onward to execute projects only in the West Coast. And we did not want to do that because all our engineering centers are in India and we have some capability in the Midwest of the US. And we shied away from that. I think that could have been a huge opportunity. So just coming back to your answer, when you delay a project or you screw up a project, it's never good for any relationship. But at least it's very important that we communicate in writing, we communicate transparently and directly with the customer. And I've seen in the long run, most of them appreciate that.
Got it. And when you look at the second bucket you mentioned, where the relationship is probably young, you know, 1 year, 2 year old relationship, when they come out with, you know, newer RFQs, you know, if you participate in them, do they sort of blacklist us or they sort of put us down? Or it's again even Steven and you start on the same page as any other vendor in that time?
Yeah, so interesting question. So it's, you know, we're again talking about OEMs or large companies, the biggest companies in the three verticals that we are part of. There's, you have to understand from their perspective, and I think you might know that as well, Manjeet, is it's very expensive for them to add a new supplier, right? They're not new companies. Most of them have 10, 20, 100-year legacies. So for them to add a new supplier, they have to have a really compelling reason to add a supplier. Their demand could be soaring or there is big technology disruption or whatever. Or they bought a company, right? Or they're not an M&A. So there's no concept of blacklist. But you have to, you know, that's why you need account managers. And that's why we keep saying for the last several years that we are not done with investing. We're going to hire a lot of ADMs, which is account delivery managers. We hire a lot of ASMs, account sales managers. And what I encourage my team all the time is instead of hiring a young manager with 5 years experience, hire a VP for the same position and with 20 years experience. Pay him 3 times more because that will help you build or accelerate your transition into the client trust or client engagement. And that's what we're doing. But we have never seen this blacklist thing in our careers, at least in onward, unless you really screw up projects for those. Those are project-based companies and we are not into that business anymore.
Got it. One last question, Jitar, I had was, you know, I was trying to cut the FY23 and FY24 revenue in two buckets. One was, you know, legacy business which you are not interested in, you are winding down or you have already shut it down. And the other is all the business you want to focus on, which is GCC, the good GCC plans in India, the onshore business and all of that, right? So if you could just help me with that, out of 441 crores in FY23, in rupees crores, what is the business which you really didn't want to pursue and which is to be shut down or is already shut down? And what is the same number for FY24? Because, you know, I'm just trying to appreciate the hard work you guys have put in growing the core business, which is your focus.
Okay, good question. We have all the data, I believe, on our investor deck or the earnings deck. But just from a timing perspective, Manjeet, it's okay. We can have our team send you all the data after this call. It's readily available. It is substantial, right? So it's substantial.
I've been trying to triangulate that from our decks, but, you know, it's not very clear. But I'll get in touch with the team in the interest of time, and hopefully they'll get back to you.
Yes, please do. And if not, we will make sure make sure you have the other Monday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amrish, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, first question related to attrition. Now that the IT services business has more or less been separated or exited, is there any color you can give us on how is the attrition within the core business now, especially, you know, between India and non-India? Because we're running quite hard to recruit, so just to understand if we have anything to worry about on the attrition side?
Yeah, hi. So not much to worry about attrition side. The reason we have not captured or we don't monitor attrition for the last 3 years in particular, especially during the pandemic, which was through the roof, is predominantly driven by we decided to exit so many or move away from the legacy business. Right? It's very hard to calculate what goes in attrition and what doesn't go in attrition. But I would like to believe, as per the feedback given by my HR head or discussions at the management level, our attrition is normal, like the other companies in the industry, the R&D companies. But there's always room for improvement, right? One of the best things about a young company like us is, we're not small anymore. We're still, you know, we were small, like 50-100 crores before the pandemic. We are 470 crores now. So there's a lot of data out there, a lot of branding out there. So our ability to attract is very good. Ability to retain is very good. Ability to give people international career opportunities is very high. And I'm just talking about from where we were 3 years ago, not knowing what the world does. And for us, that's a very proud thing of where we are. We have to keep getting better. And I always tell my HRM, we should become the best paying company in our industry. That should be a dream for you, for the HR organization and onward. So this conversation only about attrition and all that doesn't come. We should not be the lowest paying. We should actually be the best paying. So I go to that level.
Yeah, that's helpful. I mean, as a request, is just a consideration whether going forward, a couple of metrics could be included. One is on attrition, just to confirm. The other, I don't know whether it's a sensible, whether something like a total contracted value is a sensible metric for you to talk about, or does it not apply? I mean, some other companies do it, but that's more on the revenue side, right? The total contracted.
Sure, sure. So we don't share the TCV and ACV yet. Pricing, we are a bit we're not ready for that, but I'm sure we will start sharing as we make progress in the next few years.
Thank you, and good luck for FY 2025.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Desai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jigar. So, you know, if I look at the India business, that's still grown quarter on quarter, and rest of world has actually de-grown. And you've explained some of the drivers behind that already. What I'm trying to get to is, how is this demand from the India GCC shared with onward? Like, is it via RFPs, or is it more headcount-based demand? And if it's RFPs, you know, the time cycle for RFPs is typically 1 month plus. So why aren't we able to kind of plan in advance and grasp that opportunity?
Just from a timing perspective, it's 6:58. So I'll answer this question, the last question. I think it'd be great for everybody as well. So every demand to onward or any ER&D company only comes through RFP, right? There is no other means. Whether it is for headcount or it's for a project or it's for managed services, right? There are only three buckets, which are there. Pricing can change how you want to do it. Right. So there's only RFP process. There is no other conversation. So if a customer is looking to add 500 people, headcount only, it's RFP based, right? Because you still have to go through technical capabilities, domain capabilities, pilot projects, infrastructure. Even if the customer is planning to do the entire work in his or her premise, right? So it comes through RFP. I have never seen it any other way in my career. So that was the main question. And second is, why is it tough for onward? And I genuinely believe what I shared at the starting of the communication, and I've been saying it for the last 3 years and discussing and learning in the whole process, is we have too many customers. So what happens is, when 80 customers have demand, and I have only 20 managers in place today, 20 teams in place, they are all over the place. Right? And if I look at the success story for the larger industry peers, who I shouldn't call them larger industry ER&D companies, which have done exceedingly well, they have three or four or five. That's it. 90% of their profit or revenue comes from three, four, five companies, customers. So they're able to align their best people towards the best customers. So my team today, I feel, already is very stretched. So while demand is exceedingly high, what is happening to us is all 80, or maybe I should say 80, 65 will have demand tomorrow. And all 65 demand is different territories, different locations. Some places there is commonality, but that's what it comes down to. So more and more we get focused, more and more we show the customer the love, we show the customer the commitment, the attention, we think the same customers will give us that as well. And that's what we are seeing. Right? Just to summarize your point, as one more factual thing I thought would be important is, like, we had large number of million dollar plus clients, right, about 2 years ago or 1 year ago. In the last several quarters, we actually moved away from significant number of them because we realized they can never go from 1 to 5 million. But it needed, the relationship was either at my level or my management team level, so it needed all our attention. And we've actually moved away from that, and you will see a lot more getting added in the next few months or next few quarters. But the revenue percentage of our top 5 clients, or 10 clients, or 25 clients will not change, in spite of some million-dollar clients going away or which we chose to move out from. I hope I'm addressing your question with some factual data.
Yeah, that's helpful. That's helpful. An interesting thing.
Right? So for us is to qualify, have few customers, go deep with them, show them the commitment, keep investing behind them, and then hope they will reciprocate as well. And we are seeing that everywhere.
Okay.
Thank you. Over to you, Asha.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. And I'll hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you again, everybody, for joining. I know it's Friday evening, and it's luckily it's not pouring in Bombay at least. We have started off the year. It's only the first quarter. And we do believe we have an exciting future. So thank you for the support for the last 3 years. Thank you for this quarter. And we are positive. Our next 3 years will be much better than the last 3 years. And we only have strengths to take forward. And in some of the cases where we need to share data, we will make sure we share the data to you guys by Monday latest. Thank you again. And have a lovely evening and a good weekend.
Thank you. On behalf of Audmer Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.